Martin Matrano, and of course, I'm Ted Bailey down here in the Dallas studios. We had just a great interview just a minute ago with somebody who has been talking to us about the dangers that we have in our own federal government. Well, to continue with that line of thought, we have the author of a book. It's actually a fiction book, I'm proud to say. I love fiction. It's called The Day the Dollar Died by Robert Baines. Robert, welcome to On the Street.
Well, thank you, Ted. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I looked a little bit at your book, and, you know, of course, you're talking about some of the dangers that we possibly have to look at with the kind of the falling of the economy, and yet you put it in fiction form. Why did you do that?
Well, I thought about writing the book because I wanted to warn people of the dangers that I see coming. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, you know, there are other books out that are warning people. There are some economists who wrote books and stuff, but they're kind of a stiff read. Plus, I think people remember stories better and they can relate to them a lot better. And sure. So I decided to put it in story form, and so people could see how it could actually play out in someone's life if the way I fear they could.
Who, in your opinion,
lately... Now, Robert, you've been an economist and an entrepreneur for the last 30-plus years, and you've been looking at the monetary values, and you and I have spoken before and in respects to fear of our country going under. Again, the speculation is beyond $18 trillion that we're in debt. I can't even fathom paying that off. Is it possible?
I suppose it could be possible, but I don't think anybody that chose, you know, that talked about paying it off could get elected because they would have to cut so many benefits from other people that I don't think they'd ever get elected to office. And that's why I don't think any of our candidates are really even talking about it.
Right. Well, you know, you're talking about the day the dollar died. Are you saying in this book that, I mean, that that actually that's what's going to happen? That's going to be the trigger that kind of triggers all kind of chaos in the government, is the fact that the economy just falls flat?
Yeah. You know, they've created way too many dollars. And the dollar is based on nothing but confidence. I mean, there's no gold backing it anymore. Nixon took us off the gold standard years ago. And so it's just somebody's confidence in it. And if that confidence starts to drop, you know, dollars could start going down in value in a hurry. The last year or two, we've seen it be strong, but I think it's a matter of the tallest midget. You know, a lot of other currencies aren't much stronger or any better. So I think that. Dollar was strong. It was like, okay, they're all in bad shape. What's the best one of the bad ones?
Do you think that China is at fault here?
I don't know if China's at fault. I do know they would like to see their currency as a reserve currency instead of the dollar, and they're making headways that way. But China's got their problems too. So
right.
They're fighting an uphill battle there, too.
Robert, again, globally, the United States does influence the economies of the world, certainly. And I'm a proud American as well as my family. But I've talked to my sons who are all grown men, and they've actually talked about, well, maybe it's time that we left this country. And I've talked to other people who are highly respected in economics and in government who actually lean towards that same thought, that maybe it's time that if you want to survive, you should think about other countries. Is that plausible? Do you think that people are just thinking emotionally?
No, I think that's actually very logical thinking. I think the emotional people are the ones that say, oh, no, I can never leave the United States. Because, I mean, that's actually the area that I'm leaning towards, is leaving the country. Because I fear that the problems will be big enough that, you know, I don't think hardly any man can solve them anymore.
Well, would it make a difference as to who won the presidency? Would you say if like Hillary won, you would leave, or Donald won? Is there a difference there?
Well, we've been hoping that for the past 50 years, that if we elect somebody different, things will get better. And all we do is get deeper in debt. And so I don't know if it matters. I've actually got a fear that we won't have another president. And I know that's pretty radical. But I fear that it's possible it could deteriorate fast enough. I mean, all it takes is one grid crisis, and we could lose everything very quickly. If you remember in 2008, when everything went down, I mean, it happened quick. I mean, my problem was I owned a bunch of real estate. I had about 40 or 50 houses.
Oh, my God.
And so I was trying to sell these to people with not great credit. And all of a sudden, it just all started falling apart. Nobody could get any loans. People were just getting out. So I remember it very clearly how fast it went. It, like in a month or two, it went down real quick.
Well, do you think that they're over scrutinizing people? Do you think that the credit is really too tight?
No. I mean, they don't have as loose a credit as they did back then, but I don't think they're over-scrutinizing. I mean, if you were going to loan somebody $100,000 for a house, you'd want to be pretty sure that you got it back, too. So you want to scrutinize it pretty good.
Sure.
I do know with student loans, we've got $1.1 trillion of student loans out there, and currently 11% of those are behind on their payments.
Well, that's not very high percentage, actually, but if only 11%, I would be really concerned if there were more than that. But
11% of over $1 trillion is a lot of money, Ted.
Well, I know, but then here, look at it this way. Look at it from the opposite side. So houses are too expensive, and what you're getting out of universities is too expensive. Are we actually getting our money's worth in either case? The fact that real estate in California is exorbitant. It's becoming that way here in Texas, and the cost of education, which is questionable in its quality, is way overpriced. What is the real answer here? Is it the fact that the credit is bad, or the fact that the quality of our life is bad?
Well, I think a lot of the problem with the education loans is there are people that are getting these loans and expecting to move into high-paying jobs, and then they get out of college, and they can't get those high-paying jobs. So they have to work at, like, a service industry or something, and they just can't cover their expenses and cover the payments on their loans.
Exactly.
And I think that could continue to get worse.
Okay, Robert, I'm going to throw something at you, Robert. I'm going to say that Robert Baines is now president of the United States. I know that I'm just going out there on a limb, but what would you suggest? What would you like to see done?
Well, I think we really need to scale way back on our government and our, the benefits we're paying out. The problem is, how do you scale back now? I mean, government was never originally designed by our founding fathers to take care of people that didn't have jobs. It was never designed to take care of health care. It was never designed basically to take care of people and support them. That was, the people who really need, it was the church's job to take care of them and to help them out. And for the most part, most people had to work if they wanted to eat. You know, if they wanted to take care of their families, they had to go out and find something they could do to produce an income. And that's the way it originally was, and for many years. But now, since the 30s, we've gotten all these programs where people think the government's there to take care of them. And that was never our founding fathers' intent.
Robert Baines' book is called The Day the Dollar Died, and I've been over there looking at it. read, you know, the first three chapters there. It's very interesting. It's a story that just about a regular group of people or family, if you will, at work and away from work. And I assume that it's leading up to kind of a crisis there, Robert. What kind of crisis do they encounter early on in your book?
Well, in the story, it goes on like many countries have that had a problem with their currency, where inflation starts to spiral out of control. And at that point, then the government takes actions. I hate to give away too much more and give away the plot of the book. But, it tells how it affects the real people's lives and what kind of things happen. And where that goes.
Are you starting to see that now? Where, even as we speak, are you starting to see those very things happen?
We're so used to inflation, we think it's normal. You know, the Federal Reserve shoots for 2% inflation every year. If it goes less than that, they try to get it more. And it doesn't take a whole lot for it to get out of their control. I mean, they basically have a brake and an accelerator. They don't really have a steering wheel to steer the economy. And so if they push too hard on the accelerator and it gets out of control, they may not be able to stop it if people start losing confidence in the dollar. It actually almost happened in the 70s.
Exactly what I was going to bring up back in the 70s and Richard Nixon and all that. Remember all that stagflation and all that sort of thing? It did get
out. Yeah, the only way they rescued that was when they raised interest rates up to 18%.
And boy, do I remember that.
The
returns
investors started trusting it again. But they can't do that now because the federal government now is the world's greatest debtor. If they raise interest rates 18%, it would completely, I mean, we'd have to pay every dollar we could collect in taxes just to pay the interest on the national debt.
Wow.
And you know, but
you know,
the thing
Robert,
is,
you're not giving. I mean, your book is fascinating, as Ted stated. I've read the first couple of chapters as well. I'm locked into it. But the reality of the deal is, I'm fearful of the way this country's going. Again, great countries don't crumble from without, they crumble from within. And it's seemingly that the United States is crumbling from within.
Yeah, you're saying exactly right. And you know, one thing, I don't think a lot of people realize how much in debt we are because nobody talks about it. I mean, the national debt officially is over $19 trillion. But that doesn't include something called unfunded liabilities, which is like Social Security, Medicare, and pension plans that they have no money to cover. And those are over $100 trillion. Some people say it's over $200 trillion.
My God.
So if you put that all, you know, that's over $119 trillion. If you add up the wealth of every citizen in the United States, it only comes to about $85 trillion. So they're on the hook for more wealth than there is in the United States.
Well, what's the danger? What's the danger of remaining in the country like that? Are you saying it's probably more advantageous to, say, maybe leave the country? And to what environment would you go to in a case like that?
Well, there are countries that are a lot safer, that they aren't in debt. They are stable countries. And believe it or not, there are countries that are better off financially than we are. I mean, the average citizen is. In the Economic Freedom Index, we're either number 11 or number 12. So we're not even in the top 10 anymore.
Well, I think the top ones are listed like in Scandinavia, something like that.
Some of them are. And there are countries like Chile in South America.
Yeah, Chile.
Is number seven. Hong Kong is very good.
Singapore. That's dangerous, my man. That's dangerous. You know what's happened in Hong Kong?
I'm not familiar in Hong Kong.
Well, I'm from China. I lived there for 7 years. I lived in Shanghai.
Oh, okay. So
I'm married to a Shanghai.
I was
a broadcaster for Shanghai Media Group in Shanghai. I'm not communist. I'm an American guy from Dallas, Texas. I just went over there to do country music.
Mm-hmm.
We went over there to do American country music, and our show went network. And I did a rock and talk show in the afternoons for Shanghai Radio, which was actually my wife was the TV producer, and she was honored by Condoleezza Rice for being a women-owned business that spread American culture to China. So while we were there, of course, I had the opportunity to see the inside aspect of the Chinese government, because I actually worked, you know, with the Chinese government in broadcasting, because they owned all broadcast stations, of course. And I saw what was going on in Hong Kong, and it was a little disconcerting to me, because it's a disaster waiting to happen. They're starting to have more discord, more rioting. The people are really angry at the Chinese government for putting their foot down and taking over control. So, I mean, Hong Kong is a has-been, as we know it. Shanghai is building up to exceed Hong Kong even as we speak, and they're trying to build up the Shanghai harbor to become bigger than Hong Kong. I don't know that Hong Kong is a place to go. What about Panama?
Panama could be a possibility. It's really coming up a lot in the last few years. It's very modern. I believe they use the U.S. dollar, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would create a problem if the dollar starts to go down in value drastically.
Is there any place in Europe to go, or is it Europe out of the question?
A lot of places in Europe are pretty tough. Estonia is actually pretty friendly. Ireland is, I think, making some headway. But, you know, there's a lot of them, you know, like France and stuff, that have a problem with Muslim influence, that are starting to see a lot of violence in that way.
Okay.
So that would make me cautious about taking a family there.
I'm surprised that you would. I mean, you're a real estate guy here in America and that sort of thing. That someone like you would even consider leaving America. I mean, I talk about it all the time, but I'm an international kind of person. I've lived in Europe I lived in Germany for 3 years, lived in China for seven, been all over the world, been in North Africa, whatever. I'm ex-military. So, I mean, you know, I've been all over the place, but, to have somebody of your stature say, oh, I would consider leaving the country, I don't know, that's totally amazing. And I've heard things from other people saying that immigration is bigger now than it has ever, you know, people leaving America is larger now than it has ever been before, and that the government will not release those figures, you know, from the government himself. I mean, because they're afraid to bring a negative connotation to that. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, people renouncing their citizenship goes up every quarter, goes up quite a bit. And, I am concerned because my family comes first. I mean, I love the idea that the United States, the way it was founded. I mean, I think our founding fathers were geniuses and they love their freedom. But what it has become, it's, I don't think they would even recognize it as the same country they founded. I mean, we've got so much regulation. We've got such high taxes. And then the debt is just incredible. And I don't see many ways for it to go but to blow up sometime.
Problem military? Are we spending too much for the military?
Well, the thing is, the Democrats want to spend on social programs, the Republicans want to spend on the military. And if you look at it, yeah, either one can make sense, but we just don't have that kind of money to spend. I mean, we need a military strong enough to protect us, but I don't think we have the money to spend to go over and control the whole world. Like we're trying to do. We're trying to police the entire world. And I don't think we can afford it. We're just borrowing to do that.
How is the Fed doing, in your opinion, what kind of a grade should they be making on the control of the economy?
I think the problem is the Fed shouldn't be trying to control the economy. I think they should let the markets control it. You know, and because they don't want to allow anything to happen that might create a downturn in the economy, so they have to goose it up when it's natural to have downturns, you know, downturns and then rises, and that way none of them are too severe, where if you keep goosing it every time you get to a downturn, eventually you're going to build a bubble that when it blows is really going to hurt a lot of things.
What do you think about the statement, too big to fail? There are companies out there, AIG, for instance, too large to fail. Bank of America, too large to fail. Is that even a concept that we should embrace?
No, I don't think it's the government's position to protect them. But the problem is, in 2008, they said they were too big to fail, so they bailed them out. Well, now they're bigger, and they're more highly leveraged. I mean, the five largest banks have over $200 trillion in derivatives on the books. And derivatives are basically bets on an underlying asset. Well, together they have less than $10 trillion. Did I say $200 billion or $200 trillion? It's $200 trillion they have.
It's gotta
and
be trillion.
Together they have less than $10 trillion in assets.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an idea how big $200 trillion is, the entire wealth of the whole world is estimated about $241 trillion. So they've got a lot of leverage out there, and if it ever goes against them, you know, it's going to wipe out a lot of stuff.
Wow. Says a lot for being
Robert,
a bank
I'm
robber.
I'm getting emails coming in wanting to know more about you. Again, his book is The Day the Dollar Died. Certainly Ted and I both support his book and encourage you to want to go buy that. And a lot of people reading my premise about today's show wrote, then we will be facing martial law, which is obviously a little frightening to our listeners. But what at the end of this interview, Robert, what final words would you like to give to our audience?
What words you said? Or final words?
Pardon
okay,
me?
Not like you're going to die. Words. Robert is not dying yet, so don't worry about that. No.
But I mean, final words to this interview, Robert. What would you like to leave our listening audience knowing about you or your thoughts?
Okay. I would just caution everyone to investigate this for themselves. The book lays an awful lot out. So if they do read the book, they can do that. If they want to contact me, they can always get a hold of me on Facebook. And I will try to respond as much as I can out of that. But I would tell them to really take this seriously because, you know, we're all very busy with our lives and we ignore this, but this can completely change everyone's lives. And they have to decide for themselves if they want to take action to protect their family or if they want to just ignore it and hope it goes away.
Let me throw a couple of names out before you take off. You know, Bernie Sanders has stated things like you're talking about. Is he right? Is he wrong? How about Rand Paul and his father? You know, I mean, are there any people out there who's spouting the correct verbiage here?
Well, I think Ron Paul is saying the right stuff. I mean, he's the only one we've had for a long time that's been saying, hey, the Federal Reserve's out of control, the national debt's out of control, we got to do something about it. Of course, nobody pays much attention to him. So I think he's been saying, you know, and Rand to a lesser extent has been saying some stuff about it too. But other than that, all the other candidates just want to make the debt higher.
Trump, do you think that there would be any positive of him making presidency, or do you think there's any even chance that he would make president?
Well, I think there's a chance if we have another president that he could be the one. I don't know about Trump. He's kind of a wild card. just not real sure what he would do.
It's maybe we should get somebody from the local fraternity to run. You know, that's maybe, you know, at least we'd have some like Animal House and parties all the time. It would be more fun in the last days. I don't know, Hillary.
Fun is one thing, Ted, but I'm looking for responsibility, and certainly Robert Baines is one of those individuals who premises being responsible and looking out for your family. The best way to look out for your country or for the people of this country or any country for that matter is to watch out for your own nucleus and make sure they're doing well.
Exactly.
Robert, we want to thank you for joining us on the street. I wish we had longer, but maybe we can have you on again sometime.
I'd love to. It's-